Where in hell can you go? Far from the things that you know. Far from the sprawl of concrete that keeps crawling its way. About 1,000 miles a day. Take one last look behind. Commit this to memory and mind. Don't miss this wasteland, this terrible place when you leave. Keep your heart off your sleeve.
Guppy Productions presents Series 3 of From Colchester to Sulawesi. Written for Cone Radio by Phil Boast and Paula Larcher. Episode 6 of 6, The Limits to Belief.
One morning, Onny turns up unannounced at the lodge. We had hoped that the police warning him against coming here would have been sufficient deterrent, but here he is, and he must somehow be aware that there is no longer a police presence here, so perhaps he has a local informant, who knows. Anyway, he comes with two rather large and imposing Indonesian men, who he claims are his lawyers. They don't look much like lawyers, so he asks them for some ID, which they are unable to provide, and we have a brief and predictable conversation with them regarding land ownership. They are speaking Indonesian. Onny is translating. And Greg, our South African guest, who happens to be present, does an accurate and correct translation, which is different to Onny's. We are used to Onny's lies by now and expect nothing else of him, but he would not have expected anyone to be here who is fluent in both English and Indonesian. What he would also not expect is that we have people in Jakarta working on our behalf. And we have no intention of enlightening him. We do, however, tell him that this is not the way to conduct business, and that we will meet his lawyers at an agreed time if they furnish us with their office address. This they cannot do. All we get is a telephone number scribbled on a piece of paper, and the whole thing is becoming a farce. By now, Newman is here, and he tells Onny and his cronies to leave, which they do. Even with his two paid thugs in attendance, Onny would be no match for Newman in a fight. And by now, I'm sure Phil would not be above punching a few faces. We aren't sure what this has been. Probably an attempt to intimidate us. And Onny tells us that we will see him again soon. His last words to us are three words which sum up our current situation. He says, "This, my land."
This land is your land, this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. As I was walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me. I've roamed and rambled, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. And all around me a voice was sounding, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. When the sun came shining and I was strolling, fields waving and the dust clouds rolling, and the fog was lifting, a voice was chanting, this land was made for you and me. trespassing. But on the other side, it didn't say nothing. That side was made for you and me.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. This land was made for you and me.
The day after this, we are summoned once again to the office of Mr. Carroll, the Lura, who has news for us. In fact, he has more than news. So we drive to the office where Mr. Carroll informs us that those working on our behalf have been successful in Jakarta. And he quietly but proudly presents to us a new land certificate for the Bahowo Lodge land, this time in the name of Aris. This postdates the certificate in Oni's name and thus supersedes it, and effectively renders any claim that Oni may make on the land in the future null and void. We don't understand how this could have happened, how a once perfectly legal land ownership document can be made illegal just because somebody makes a new one. But he assures us that this is the case, and that all we now have to do is to take the certificate to the Manado Land Registry Office to officially register the new document, and that will be an end to the matter. Mr. Carroll is by nature a man of few words, and there remains a language barrier between us. But in any case, he does not embellish or tell us the process by which all this has been achieved, and we are not much inclined to ask for details. I would, in fact, far rather give him a big hug, but that would be bad form and not very professional. And Indonesians aren't big huggers at the best of times, so I'll hug Phil in a minute instead. All that we can do with Mr. Carroll is to thank him profusely once again and give him a big fat tip for his trouble. Bribery is bad, of course, and must be resisted and fought against at all times. But we have a new land certificate, which is perhaps the most important piece or pieces of paper which we have ever possessed, and is certainly so in the context of our new lives in Indonesia. So best leave our principles out of it for now and come back to them later. After all, if this were Rome, then we would have to do as the Romans do, would we not? And the thing is that we've won. And any move that Oni may make now against us will fail. Or at least that is our supposition.
I don't quite know what's happening to my head. We walk from the Lura's office, although it may be more accurate to say that we float somehow. And a process is going on whereby I'm coming to terms with the fact that after all the weeks and months of worry and uncertainty, we don't have to worry anymore. Practical matters must be attended to. Aris will go to Manado, forms will be filled in and duly stamped as part of a day's work for some anonymous government worker who will make no big deal of it. It's just another land document, and this is just another working day. And they will have no idea of the effect that a few moments of their time will have on a couple of crazy English people who have put their faith in something which they know next to nothing about.
Leave me here. you never will. Even when your heart and everyone else said I'm gonna lose it, it says I'm gonna lose
This could have gone so many ways. With a little prompting from us, Oni, or his mortal remains, could by now have been floating somewhere on the Sulawesi Sea, feeding the sharks. Or Jakarta could have decided differently and followed the strict process of law. But neither of these things has happened. Instead, we have let 100 quiet conversations behind closed doors take their course. And the result we can now hold in our hands. And all of a sudden, we have a future again. And we can start to leave the past and our past mistakes and misjudgments behind us. So, my head's gone a bit weird, but only in a good way. And as days go, this is a good one. And the moments which we are living now are moments that we will never forget.
Phil and I will be celebrating later today, and so will our staff. We'll have some beers and do other things which people who are in love do. And in terms of that kind of thing, that is to say, our relationship, we seem to have sort of crossed a line somehow. Since we were respectively 16 and 17 years old, Phil has told me that we'll be together and in love forever. He's a bit soppy like that, and I never really believed him. Although a huge part of me, which is all of me really, has always so much wanted to. And now, over the last few months, ever since we sat on the dockside in Singapore and said let's move to the Far East, we've experienced something which has put our love through things which it really isn't fair to ask of love. We've done the agony and the ecstasy and had moments when we wondered whether all of this would in the end be for nothing. But we've won now. And everything looks different. And the love is still there. So I suppose it's about time I started to believe him. I've heard it said that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And if this principle is applied to us, then we are stronger now than ever. And whatever happens from now on, I suppose it will be as it always has been. Me and my idiot man bungling along through life and getting by somehow in this big, beautiful world, which at the moment looks even bigger and more beautiful than ever, which can't really be a bad thing, can it?
Like this.
Our boat is ready. She sits now at the jetty of the hotel, bobbing contentedly in the water, and awaiting our final inspection and her maiden voyage with us as owners. We had already decided to call her Hattie, after our beloved niece, and so in this respect also life is looking good, and we have our boat. 2 days after Onnie's visit, and via a complex and convoluted network of communication, we hear news of him. He has been to the Land Registry office with his Chinese friends, presumably to put the final seal on the sale of our land, and he will have found that the words upon his land ownership certificate aren't worth the paper upon which they are writ, and we can only guess at his and their reaction to the news. In the end, after all that has happened, we beat him by 2 days, which is all that stood between us and disaster. But 2 days, in the end, was long enough. Something happened just after his departure from our meeting at the lodge, which was strange, even by the standard of this strange land. He had not been gone more than a minute when 3 pure white birds, probably doves or similar, flew into the wall of the lodge and died instantly at our feet. Newman picked up the dead birds and told us in serious tones that here were Onni and his 2 friends, and that we would not see him again. Our problems with Onni were now over. Now, we are not given to believing in superstition or such bizarre symbolism, but even we, with our limited ornithological knowledge, know that, on the whole, birds don't just fly into walls for no reason. So what was happening? Our lives here have taught us to stretch our beliefs beyond their normal, rational limits. But here was something so weird that it's asking too much of us. It's funny, though, how we can convince ourselves to believe something if we want to believe it badly enough.
Oh, mother, lie, pray to me. Close my eyes, lullaby me to sleep. Keep me safe, lie with me, stay beside me, don't go, don't go.
Find out what happens next when we return to the adventures of Phil and Paula and Bahowo Lodge in the next episode of From Colchester to Sulawesi. Stay beside me.